Lutherans for Life is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During July, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Lutherans for Life. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
The Me Too movement could be the start of something terrific if it's seen as a act of rebellion by women against the loose sexual morals that have prevailed for the last several decades.
Help me keep the law of God, not the law of God as I want it to be, but the law of God as is revealed in Scripture, is the only way to really show love to your neighbor and love to God.
Our Good Shepherd will not abandon us, and even if we lose every other memory we have, we will still remember the voice of our shepherd.
This is Joel from Nebraska and classical guitarist, Love Issues, etc.
Well, there are other things in the news. The World Cup. There is always local sports and weather that can distract you as well. There is, of course, kind of the perennial stories of whatever the president may have tweeted and said on social media. Then there's the story that's not going to go away until there's some resolution to an open seat on the U.S. Supreme Court, and even then it won't go away after that. The narratives, it appears, have been written. The plans and the strategies are being made. Already the trial balloons are being floated, and the president has promised that he would have a nominee named soon, sooner rather than later. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's promised he would name his nominee, his pick, by the end of this very week. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 3rd of July. We're going to be talking about media coverage of religion and an open seat on the U.S. Supreme Court. Terry Mattingly will be our guest. Bishop Keith Ackerman of the Anglican Church in North America will join us to talk about the Episcopal Church considering gender-neutral language for the deity, for God himself, in their Book of Common Prayer. If you don't know anything about Episcopalians or Anglicans, changes in the Book of Common Prayer are enormous. They don't happen very often, and when they do, they mean something. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on John the Baptist's call to repentance in Matthew chapter 3, and then Aaron Wolf, executive editor of Chronicles, Magazine of American Culture, will join us to talk about the beliefs of Canadian psychology professor Jordan Peterson. He's claimed by many and disdained by many as well. Why is that? Can we agree with his conclusions without agreeing with his arguments? In the meantime, Terry Mattingly is our guest. We are going to be talking about media coverage of religion and an open seat on the U.S. Supreme Court. You can join us. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate in the book Pop Goes Religion, and founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
So I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. Why did you title a recent column, "Is the Open U.S. Supreme Court Seat a Religion Story"?
Well, I backed up the other day. I can't remember in which post it was. I backed up and noted that since I'm in my mid-60s now, I'm old enough to remember an era in American politics before Roe v. Wade. And basically, the Supreme Court was already controversial. You had school prayer decisions and you had whatever. But at that point in American life, concerns about the court had not completely taken over American politics the way it has since Roe. And then, of course, you move on from Roe a decade and a half or so, and you get to the hearings on whether Justice Bork, B-O-R-K, which I believe in some dictionaries now is a verb, as in to bork somebody, because we had kind of a cataclysmic event when one of the nation's most famous legal scholars was denied a seat on the court because it was believed that, as a constitutionalist, that he was going to overturn Roe v. Wade. And you had this brutal set of hearings in which eventually he was defeated in his candidacy. This turned into a rather complicated scene with a number of different possibilities. And then the person who ends up taking the seat that would have been Robert Bork's is, you got it, Justice Anthony Kennedy, which then gives us the Kennedy era, where he becomes the swing vote, who is basically conservative on a lot of economic issues and things of that sort. And for a while, he would be traditional on First Amendment issues, but then along comes, of course, rulings on both abortion and gay rights and everything else that made his reputation. But if we can go back to that Bork hearing, there's a very famous quote from Ted Kennedy from the Bork hearing, which I think it would pay to read to kind of let you hear kind of the back history of this. Because basically, the religious right and cultural conservatives of other kinds have basically been wanting payback all the way since the Robert Bork hearings. Ted Kennedy said, Robert Bork's America is a land in which women would be forced into back alley abortions. Blacks would sit at segregated lunch counters. Rogue police could break down citizens' doors in midnight raids. School children could not be taught about evolution. Writers and artists would be censored at the whim of the government, and the doors of federal courts would be shut on the fingers of millions of citizens for whom the judiciary is often the only protector of the individual rights that are the heart of our democracy. That quote has gone down in history. You know, I have no idea how in the world Bork was supposed to undo racial integration. But now listen, in a brilliant column the other day, that man, David French, who we talk about so often, the never Trump conservative who has become such a crucial legal voice in American media, he noted that the CNN legal analyst the other day offered this picture of the court that will result if Trump is able to successfully nominate someone to take the place of Kennedy. Okay, here comes this quote. It will overrule Roe versus Wade, allowing states to ban abortions and to criminally prosecute any physicians and nurses who perform them. It will allow shopkeepers, restaurateurs, and hotel owners to refuse service to gay customers on religious grounds. It will guarantee that fewer African American and Latino students attend elite universities. It will approve laws designed to hinder voting rights. It will sanction execution by grotesque means. It will invoke the Second Amendment to prohibit states from engaging in gun control, including the regulation of machine guns and bump stocks. Now, does that sound vaguely familiar?
It just sounds like the spirit of Ted Kennedy has come back.
We're not into seances around here, but that one sounds really amazing. And then now let's think back to your question. Why did I ask that it was almost hilarious to ask if this open seat was a religious issue? In those two passages we've just read, or I've just read to you, how many religious or moral or cultural issues are in those two passages?
Well, for some people, almost all of them are, but for maybe more kind of strict interpreters of scripture and ethics, a lot of them.
Yeah, and I noted the other day that the Axios website did an excellent summary of kind of the issues involved in this open seat, and the top two were abortion and gay rights. And then when you read through all of their descriptions, they really should have gone ahead and added another bullet and just have said that religious liberty and broad application of the First Amendment on free speech, etc., is another one of the crucial issues before this court. At that point, you would have to say that moral, religious, and cultural issues are almost the entire battle for this seat. And if you do a Google search right now for like Kennedy open seat controversy or whatever, it's fun. I'm using the word extremely loosely. It's interesting, significant to then analyze the search results and noticed the number of times either abortion or gay rights shows up as the crucial issues that would be decided here. You have to make the observation that whatever you think about the issue of abortion, and basically I think anyone is brain dead if they don't have strong views on that issue one way or the other. Can we at least admit that it's absolutely amazing that a Supreme Court decision like Roe remains as controversial as it is today, this many decades later? It's an astonishing comment on the degree to which America is divided. So this brings us to the open seat, and what issues do you think are dominating discussions of who should be nominated?
Well, this is what I'm wondering, because I see already, with respect to one Amy Coney Barrett, for which religion was already an issue
when in her hearings,
an explicit issue. Already people are kind of digging into her associations and are trying to make the case that there couldn't be anyone less qualified to serve not only on the Supreme Court, because they're trying to anticipate her being near the top of the list, or much less her current job on the, I believe, Seventh Circuit Court, because of her religious association.
And which brings us back to the religious test idea. I've heard some people speculate, I mean, this would be a horrible thing to do to someone. There are some people that speculate Trump will nominate her simply to make the left go so completely out of its mind that they bork her. There's that verb again, which means the second nomination would then go through pretty smoothly. That she would become like a Catholic mother of seven, brilliant law career, Notre Dame professor, sacrificial lamb for the main part of getting out the Republican vote. Now, that's awfully cynical, but the bizarre side of it is that almost makes sense if you're really nasty and cynical about everything that exists in American life and political thought. Now, if you're following the Amy Coney Barrett story, you know that once again, it's not enough. You see, you can't just say she's a Catholic. You have to say she's some sort of extremist Catholic. And the flashpoint right now on that is the fact that her membership, once upon a time, in a charismatic Catholic group called People of Praise. And the New York Times, back during the original hearings, did a story that was way below its normal standard of quality for religion coverage, in which it basically painted People of Praise as a cult, which is really bizarre when you consider that, A, it's in good standing with the Vatican. It was a non-denominational group of both Protestants and Catholics. And nobody thought to check if this organization was in good standing with the local diocese. Nobody asked if it was such a bizarre organization. Why did Pope Francis, who is no one's right winger, recently name a priest from this movement as a bishop in the U.S. church? And you could go on and on. I'm happy to say that the liberal site, Slate, has actually done a pretty fair-minded story. But I'm now going to test your knowledge of American popular culture and symbolic language. Why did the New York Times and those who are quoting the story make a big deal out of the fact that women in this organization are referred to as handmaidens?
Why did the New York Times make a big deal of that?
And why does everybody that quotes the Times piece, why are they all using the word handmaiden
over and over? It has to be these red-suited handmaidens' tale
the
protests.
HBO, right.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a ref. In other words, they're playing the popular culture card, which if you really want to get to the attention of the American public, you don't talk facts about specifics in political thought or legal jurisprudence concepts or philosophies of law. No, you link her to a cult that everybody has seen on HBO.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of religion and an open seat on the U.S. Supreme Court. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about media coverage of religion and an open seat on the U.S. Supreme Court. Terry Mattingly is our guest, senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City and author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate in the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. So, Terry, the religious gloves have come off. And I think, for me, it's refreshing to see two issues way out in the open that are usually only referred to in code and kabuki dance and all sorts of other political maneuvering. One, abortion. It's very refreshing to see the progressivists come out and say, abortion is on the line. Abortion is the most important thing in our lives. And the world will end if Roe is even touched, much less overturned. And it's also very refreshing. Look, I'm to see them come out and say religious people are dangerous on the court. At least they're being honest.
Well, so you fall into the category of nominating Barrett and just saying, what the heck, let's do this thing. But see, to some degree, the highest level of elite culture has already kind of spotted you and kind of kicked the ball up another notch, or raised the bar higher. I'll come up with a metaphor here in a second. Another post that I did last week was a very interesting, it might as well have been an editorial, at the very least an analysis piece, that ran on the front page of the New York Times, that ran with this headline, "Weaponizing the First Amendment, How Free Speech Became a Conservative Cudgel." So, as you and I have discussed many times, we now live in the age where old-fashioned First Amendment liberals like myself, people who defend unbridled free speech, the New York, freaking Times has now decided that that is a conservative tactic for hurting the nation. And in a post earlier, I dug back and noted that when Jerry Falwell sued Hustler magazine, he essentially said, "I am suing them because they ran a piece of satire that was abusive, negative, and hurtful about me and the memory of my mother." It certainly was all those things. Satire usually is. But who in the current debates do you hear saying that speech should be limited because it hurts people and makes, you know, hurts their dignity, makes them feel bad about themselves?
Well, it's the progressives.
It's the progressives. So basically, the New York Times is now giving a tremendous amount of space in the most valuable journalistic territory on planet Earth, page one of the New York Times, to an argument that essentially says, even though they never say this, of course, maybe Jerry Falwell was right. Maybe we need to have a view of the First Amendment in which it isn't all that bad, and that it's horrible if you hurt people's feelings. It's horrible if you say things that abuse them. Now, if you get your way, Todd, and we get the Barrett hearings, I'm kind of doing this rhetorically, do you expect any harsh or abusive things to be tossed the way of Amy Coney Barrett?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's going it will be a borking, I'm certain.
And you know what? As a public figure, the press and commentators can pretty much say whatever they want under the First Amendment, and she'll have to take it. And tragically or sadly, I would say that is absolutely right. But at the same time, right now in American thought, we have this idea that it is a Supreme Court level offense to someone's dignity that an artist doesn't have to make art that directly and specifically violates their religious beliefs when it's art for a religious rite or ceremony, which, unlike Tobin, that's not the same thing as a hotel owner excluding gay customers. I don't know anybody that thinks that they have a right to do that. Now, where you could, I can spin that immediately and say where you might have a case. What happens if you have a non-profit religious group defined by doctrine that owns a wedding chapel? And a gay couple says, we want to have our wedding in that wedding chapel, even though this is a chapel that belongs to a religious denomination that believes nothing that we believe, etc. Once again, you're going to get into the dignity, offense, our feelings are hurt, our rights have been violated argument. So the First Amendment is right at ground zero of this open Supreme Court case. And half the First Amendment is religion, religious liberty. And the other half is the press, of course, and free association, freedom of assembly, and some other things. You can't get religion out of this drama under any circumstances. And I just noticed that the person who's rumored to be the second prominent possible Trump nominee is also a Catholic, but not someone as symbolic as putting a woman on the court with this woman's remarkable personal history and professional background. As someone has said, this is a woman who has such an inferior view of women, she wants them locked up into a kitchen, which is why she went out and got herself a world-class education, landed a job on a top 10 law school, and now serves on a major judiciary bench. This is ground zero in American political life, because we can't agree on legislation. We can't agree on compromise. We can't hold tolerant discourse in which we reach some sort of logical compromise. We are incapable of all of that. We seem incapable of watching or reading media that attempts to take both sides fairly. So what is left? Executive orders and the U.S. Supreme Court. Just like you and I said last week, and now we have the chair that was, some would say, was supposed to belong to Judge Bork. Then it belonged to our ruler and king, Anthony Kennedy, and that chair is now open. Yeah, you think anybody's going to get fired up about this? I tweeted out the other day that when something like this happens in Washington, there are people who are so disturbed, I wouldn't be surprised if they are rushing to the local grocery store to buy water, milk, and toilet paper. I mean, like a hurricane or a blizzard is coming.
Finally, then, with about a minute here, Terry, what are your expectations? This is going to be, the term of art, of course, is media circus. It cannot not be a media circus. The confirmation hearings, whoever is sitting there on that hot seat, what are your expectations about how the media will cover it? Is it even possible the media might lead the way in a return to some calm, some reason, some careful consideration?
You have got to be kidding me. No, this is all about two different groups of people. One is a pair of moderate to liberal Republican women in the U.S. Senate. Everything will be done to try to swing them away from Trump's nominee. And the other will be all of the Democrats who are currently holding Senate seats in states that were won by Trump in the last election and face re-election in the upcoming midterm elections. I would say, you know, forget the press handling this with some sense of decorum. The question here is, how cynical is Trump? And that's, I know people I respect a lot who think Barrett is the obvious nominee. She may be. She would be on the court for decades if her health was normal. She seems certainly qualified to me. Do you want to put that woman through what the press and late night comics and everybody else is going to do to her? Will Trump go there? I don't know what I think about that question.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He is founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, as always, thank you very much. Talk to you again.
Glad to be here.
When we come back, Bishop Keith Ackerman is going to join us. We're going to be talking about the Episcopal Church considering changes to the Book of Common Prayer. Not small changes, big changes, gender-neutral language, maybe even some swapping of pronouns for God. Stay tuned. You could win an audio DVD of every presentation from all six Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Record your answer to the question, Issues Etc. What does this mean? On our comment line, 618-223-8382. If we play your answer during Issues Etc., we'll send you a conference audio DVD of almost 50 hours of teaching. 618-223-8382. And answer the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? Please be sure to mention where you listen.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Trinity Lutheran Church in Vilonia, Indiana, is a mighty fortress that stands as a bulwark against the attacks of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. We are located in Jackson County, about 2 miles south of historic Fort Vilonia on State Road 135. Join us every Lord's Day for Sunday school and Bible class at 8:30 and divine service at 9:30. Come and receive the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation from God's Valiant One, Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and holds the field forever.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.